Twin searchlights shine upward, forming a W. Words read TWC Dimension. The three inverted triangles of light fade out one at a time. Now a window shows a bear stalking up a snowy street. From inside, a boy peers out at the beast. The image distorts and shrinks through a peephole lens, becoming an illustrated bear within a letter B. Black Bear Pictures. A grainy film strip becomes rapidly moving dash marks. They stop to form the letter Y within a logo. Highway 61. 1981. Reno, Nevada.
We were real business. That's what you gotta understand.
A wavy-haired woman looks around an office.
We were goddamn industry. The guy that's the backbone of this country.
A sharp-nosed man guides her while others use phones.
Go out in the parking lot and look on the license of that brand new Mercedes 450.
Two co-workers eye the couple as they view a photo.
Seeing this. Asparagus Creek. This picture's over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. You see this handsome devil right here?
Mm-hmm.
He's a Wells.
Okay, so, I know you're a mining company,
mm-hmm.
but I pictured... Well, I don't know what I pictured exactly. I guess little carts going down little train tracks.
Right.
And what is it that you do here?
What we do is we look for the metals and the minerals, all right? There's exploration over there, there's engineering, and there's production, right? We're prospectors.
She wears a confused look.
Not yet? Okay, how about this?
Yeah.
So let's say that this is the Earth.
My handbag.
Your handbag is Mother Earth, with all of her deep-filled mysteries and goodies on the inside that she does not want to give up. Me, I'm man, and I'm damn curious about what she's got inside. So I send down what's called an exploratory drill. I go down inside, I dig around, come across something, I pull it out. It's nickel.
He shows a coin.
Nickel's actually 75% copper and 25% nickel, but there's a whole lot of nickel in the world, and the world needs nickels. I'm back down there to get my second core sample, and I happen to pull up, say, silver. Now, the thing is, when you find a little bit of this, that means there could be a whole hell of a lot of it. So we start raising money. We raise enough money to open a mine like the one in that picture right there.
She looks off.
Then?
He hides a jewelry case in her bag.
We dig it all up. Now, sometimes, not that often, sometimes, the prospecting gods are having a party at the pearly gates, and we get real, real, really lucky. And we dig down in there, and we find a little metal called gold.
He opens the case to reveal a watch. The woman's jaw drops.
Kenny!
You like it?
I love you.
Old man wants to see you.
In a private office.
Afternoon, Marianne. Hey, Pop. Heard you want to see me.
Yeah, Kenny, get your ass in here, would you? Would you run through this Persian County strategy again for me?
Right. It's about this southern part of this Newmont property right here. Now, Newmont just started drilling at 140 meters and found a whole lot of magnesite. Now, if you remember, we still own the option on Relief Canyon, which is next door. We're not finding a squad. Why? We're not drilling deep enough. Let's get back in there. Drill deeper. Go to 140 if we need to, and we got a damn good chance of getting Relief back in production.
What about Jerry Canyon?
Not sure, baby. You know a hell of a lot more about it than I do. But the assays look promising. Could be fucking huge.
I want you to run point on this. All in. Scale it up. Make it yours.
Yes, sir.
Holding a glass, Kenny's father steps to a large picture window.
Well, Clive Coleman's on board. Those boys will ride with you.
He pours himself liquor and looks out at the vast landscape and bright sky.
God, we work hard in this business. Sometimes for nothing. I wake up every morning and tell myself I don't have to do this. I get to do this. And then it's just blue skies.
Kenny smiles faintly. His father turns to face him.
blue skies, baby.
Kenny gives a faint nod, and his dad grins.
My old man. A legend. That was the last time I saw him alive.
Fade to black. 7 years later. A door opens, letting in sunlight. A low view shows a man walk inside across the stone floor. He puts a coin in a vending machine and pulls a lever. Now with thinning hair, Kenny retrieves a pack of cigarettes from the machine. He lights the one in his mouth and walks through the dimly lit bar. Using phones, mining company employees sit in booths.
Well, I open it, Kenny.
God bless you, Roy.
The bartender pours Kenny a drink.
Voice to the mother load.
Mother load!
Day be the day.
On the phone.
With the geological reports on this highly encouraging, and we are taking a very aggressive perspective over you. Of course, I can have my secretary send you one right out. But I got to tell you, on this offering, it's already oversubscribed. You know, we can always try and get you on the next one. No. Yeah, I understand.
The wavy-haired woman approaches.
You watching the time? It's 11:15, Kenny.
Oh, Christ.
He rubs his eyes before smiling at her.
What would I be without you?
She grins. At an upscale office, Kenny flips through a magazine. He checks his watch.
Mr. Wells.
Yes.
Lloyd Stanton.
Hello, Lloyd.
Hi there. This is my colleague, Henry Andrews.
Nice to meet you.
Hey. Come on back.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
They enter a small conference room.
So, what can we do for you?
Well, why don't we wait for Clive?
Mr. Coleman got tied up in a meeting.
Well, no offense, boys, but I'm supposed to be meeting with Clive.
None taken. But if you were supposed to be meeting with Clive, you would be meeting with Clive.
Kenny puts up his hands, then opens his briefcase.
All right, here is what we have. We are developing some very exciting properties that are spot on for your investor profile. Low buy-in with a sizable upside. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful part is they are all only 12 to 18 months and cash positive.
Manitoba?
Yeah, we picked up an option on a skip claim at an auction.
Right, but it's a 90-day option.
Yes, the window is narrow. But if you have a look at the geo, you'll see a very promising shell formation that hasn't been tapped yet.
Lloyd and Henry share a concerned look.
Mr. Wells, WashU has a practical value hovering just above zero. Your debt load is untenable, and you bring us raw land with no infrastructure, no fungible assets. I mean, you can't possibly expect us to underwrite this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about a small offering here. As I said in the beginning, a low buy-in. Now, if you'll take a second look at the geo, you will see what I see. And that's money.
He grins and gestures.
Not our money.
In the parking lot, Kenny storms to his car. Grimacing, he briefly leans his head back, then punches the steering wheel. Cut to black. A title appears, Gold. Inspired by true events, a roving view passes a billboard reading, Free Pie, Free ATM.
See, the thing is that the whole economy had turned,
particularly for commodities.
A headline, economy officially in recession.
Close of the day, WashU was trading at 4 cents a share if it was trading at all.
In a small home, Kenny talks on the phone.
Because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Right, well, WashU mining.
You know, carrying on the business. You know, there's still minerals out there. We just got to find them, right?
Yeah, all right. Thank you for your time.
He drinks from a can, then makes more calls.
12 to 18 months. Cash positive.
A deal.
He stumbles.
Goddamn, Ryan, calling you. Fuck, whatever time it is.
He takes a deep breath.
WashU Mining. The company that my grandfather literally scratched out of the side of a Nevada mountain. The company that my father made into a real player was almost gone. Almost.
At night, the wavy-haired woman finds Kenny sleeping on the couch.
I'd already lost my house, and I was living with Kay. Yeah, we were about to lose that, too.
Moving the glass from his hand, she sits next to him. She takes a cigarette and lighter from his shirt pocket.
Had a half gallon of Seagram's in me. Shit, most people would have been dead, but not me, no. Instead, I had a dream.
Our view closes in on Kenny as Kay smokes next to him.
I mean, literally, I had a dream.
His image fades to lush mountains. Jungle hills and valleys sprawl out to the horizon.
Indonesia. Go.
Dozens of men work in a stone quarry.
Now, I'd been to Indonesia 5 or 6 years earlier. I still had a little money in my pocket. You know, Indonesia was booming, and I was looking for a way to get in.
A bearded man oversees the workers from a high cliff.
Well, back then, if you wanted to put a hole in the ground in Indonesia, you wanted Mike Acosta telling you where to dig. He was what they call a river walker. He had a real hands-on geologist, real deal. Oxford College, MIT, his mom was Venezuelan, his dad was English. Now, you see, he just discovered the largest copper strike in Southeast Asia. And everybody wanted a piece of it, including me.
With a group.
You got the Nazca Plates, the Pacific Plate, Juan de Fuca, North American, South American, Aleutian, Marianas, Tonga, the plates rubbing and grinding up on each other, 6 trillion kilobars of pressure, 10,000 degrees Celsius, kicking up geothermic hotspots all along the Pacific Rim.
Hey, he called it the Ring of Fire theory. And he definitely had everyone's attention.
That's how I found the copper. That's why I'll find the gold.
In Kay's bedroom, Kenny stands in his underwear as he looks through a small box of paper and receipts. He finds a business card from Michael Acosta, geologist. Kenny opens a jewelry box and pockets the watch he gave to Kay.
You're up early.
He sits on the bed and kisses her.
You want to talk about yesterday?
No, I gotta go right now, babe. I got a plan. Wait,
Kenny, listen. Carl had an idea.
Back in home, Carl?
Mm-hmm. He said he could get you on for a while.
I don't think that's gonna be necessary, baby.
It'd just be temporary till the market turns. We could fool around in the warehouse.
When I get done with this trip, all right? It shouldn't take more than a week.
What? Where are you going?
It doesn't work out.
Baby.
No, I'm going to give Carl a call. I'll call you from the airport.
Kenny!
It was like I was being called.
Kenny pawns the watch and his own jewelry.
It was the gold calling. That may sound crazy to you, but if you knew that feeling, you'd know.
A plane soars overhead. An aerial view of Reno gives way to a village and nearby city. Cottages on stilts clutter a riverfront where villagers wash items. Cars and bikers crowd a city highway. In the back of a taxi, Kenny wears an uncertain expression. The driver turns the taxi into a fancy hotel's driveway. Kenny gets out and makes his way to the lobby, where a man plays a piano. He uses a phone.
Kenny Wells, I'm down here in the lobby of the Jakarta Palace. Listen, we must have got the times mixed up. Let me know, I'm down here. I'm in the brown suit, I'm on a green couch. I'm the good-looking guy, okay? All right, we'll make it happen, Captain. All right.
Later, Kenny drinks and smokes. He brushes off his jacket.
Wells? Mike!
The man eyes Kenny, who grins.
Good to see you again.
Mike nods.
I know a local place a bit more color.
But they're not born here.
Good.
Later, they drink at a small table.
So, what are we talking about here, Wells?
Ring of Fire, Mike. Ring of Fire.
I hope they have my greatest hits. Fire's gone out of that one.
Well, what are you talking about?
It's the opinion of my fellow esteemed geologist. It's a whole thing I'm quoting here. It's a crock of shit.
Well, what the hell, you know? You called it wrong.
What are you gonna do?
There's no right or wrong in this business. There's only hits and misses. There's gold here.
Kenny moves his chair closer. He pours Mike another drink.
I'm glad you said that, Mike. I truly am. Because I believe you.
I hate to dash your hopes, but you can think others have come along before you with the same thought, and for the looks of it, deeper pockets.
Ring of Fire is real, Mike. I knew it the first time I heard it. Struck me like a fucking lightning bolt, and I never forgot it. Well, go ahead and laugh. I get that all the time. But hear this. I don't just believe. I know.
No, you don't.
I've seen it.
You don't understand. No one will back me.
You tell me where you want to dig, Mikey, and I'll make goddamn sure the bills are paid.
No offense, Wells, but you look like you had to rob someone just to get here. You know nothing about me.
You know it's still out there. Yeah, I know that. I can see in your eyes you still believe. I get it. And I was born on the side of a mountain, too. My father scratched everything he ever owned out of a fucking rock. I died with dirt under his fingernails, and I intend to do the same. This business wrote me off years ago. All right, maybe you're not running the hottest end of your career right now either, so let's prove them all. You and me, let's prove them all fucking wrong. And you know why? You do know why. Because the Ring of Fire, you're right, Mike. You called it. Just hadn't found it yet. Tell me I'm crazy. I'll be on the next plane.
Kenny cocks his head and leans back in his chair.
You're crazy.
Mike walks away. He pauses and turns back.
You have a hat, Wells?
Yeah, I got a hat. Why are we going somewhere?
On a riverbank.
Upriver.
What river is that, Mike?
You're late.
The only one that matters.
A spray of water trails behind a motorboat as it speeds down the river. A man steers while Kenny and Mike sit in the front. They travel along the wide river flanked by dense jungle. Kenny peers ahead as he rides. Villagers along the bank lift wide pans out of the water.
The Dayak has been panning this river for over 5,000 years. That's how it got its name. Dayak Kensana. What's it mean? Dayak means upstream. Kensana means gold. You gotta be shitting me.
They continue down a narrow section of the river. The man steering the boat stares firmly ahead as the sun shines behind him. Kenny stirs awake, and Mike looks ahead. Later, we share Kenny's view as he lifts the brim of his hat.
Wells. We're here. So listen. The Dayak are warrior people. Probably best known for Nayao. Headhunting. But it doesn't happen much anymore. You might be thinking we're some traitors or someone's mother-in-law.
A villager watches them. Kenny looks around anxiously. Later, they trek through the dense jungle. Mike leads Kenny, who spots a monkey climbing on branches overhead.
How long?
This jungle will test you. It will hold you up, weigh you, and decide your worth within an ounce.
You always talk like this, Mike? Like a book on tape?
Suppose I do.
They move toward the base of a mountain.
Where are we going?
Up.
Later, Kenny collapses. Hunched over, he breathes heavily. Mike glances back at him.
Take a look.
Covered in sweat, Kenny raises his head. His eyes dart from side to side.
Oh my God.
He stands and joins Mike, who looks out at a lush valley.
There have been a few folks up here tapping over the years. We have all focused on the foothills, far to the south. But what interests me is the other way. That small depression, like a giant left a footprint walking away. Something happened there, Wells. Something hot and angry. That's where we find the taste of bits.
A dream.
Kenny wears a wistful smile.
He's out there.
Damn right it is.
In a secluded village.
Look, if it's the big boys that you're thinking about investing in us, you know, the Harvard endowment or some pension fund, right? I am not your guy. But the little guys, right? The guys that you don't even know about, the hustlers, the scrappers, the make-it-happen motherfuckers. Those are my guys. How much do we need?
$750 to start.
Okay. How much do we need?
Isn't it just the lease? Bernie Lanisha. That means getting a permit and lining pockets. Equipment. You don't just do this with a couple of shovels and a pickaxe.
I'll get the money. Whatever it takes.
Kenny and Mike share a look. Holding a cigarette between his lips, Kenny writes on a paper napkin. He holds it out to Mike.
What's that?
It's a contract. Read it. Sign it.
Mike takes the napkin and studies it. Kenny offers him a pen. Mike signs next to Kenny's initials and offers the napkin back.
Keep it.
He pockets it.
Yeah, I could feel it in my bones. I was selling something that I believed in.
They shake hands in the bar in Reno.
20K minimum buying. Right? And the shares are fucking flying off the shelf.
I mean, no risk, no gain, right?
No, because it's coming in.
Kay serves the employees drinks.
Acosta. Michael Acosta. It's the largest cover strike in history, and that's the guy that we
got. Get those shoes shiny for dancing, baby.
We don't even have the expiration permits. What are they selling?
What are we selling?
Penny and Mike talk on the phone.
Mike, if you're telling the story, right now the story is you. Speaking of which, what the fuck are you doing right now?
I'm down in Kupang City looking at coring equipment.
Acosta's in Kupang City looking at coring equipment.
He's in Kupang City as we speak.
It's a fucking city.
Kupang City, we're getting the coring.
You're magic, Mike. You're fucking magic.
An adding machine prints a receipt with some entries surpassing 40,000. A worker hands the receipt to Kenny as others watch nervously. Kenny grabs a phone.
You there, Mike? $267,434.
That's not exactly the number I had in mind, Wells.
Well, look, I mean, I may be able to borrow a little bit against it, but, you know.
No, you know what, truth, Mike? That's it for now. That's it. Can you make it work?
I can't make anything work.
Work out of a bar, Will.
Keeping a lid on expenses, Mike. Making the dollar holla.
Kenny turns to his employees.
Where are you?
In the jungle, Mike leads Kenny and a group of local men. Kenny stares at Mike, who studies the area. They share a look, and Mike plants a stick in the ground. He motions a circle with his hand, and a foreman addresses the others. The group slashes through the dense foliage with machetes. Grinning, Kenny lights a cigarette. Mike surveys the workers. Kenny looks around in awe as the men hack through the branches. He dances over to Mike. Now the workers erect a drill tower. The crew sets up large tents over work tables. A bull pulls a piece of machinery while men push. The workers settle into cots under a tent. Under a large canopy, Mike and Kenny look out at the rain.
Record player. That's classy. Not paying for that, Mikey?
Six-man crews, 12-hour shifts. are on the clock. Tomorrow, I'll start looking at our core samples. And they will send the most promising downriver to the edge of life.
The mother load, Mike. You're out there, baby.
Walking through the rain, Kenny approaches the workers. Home. Crew members lift a drill and remove a mineral sample from its pipe. Kenny waits in the rain. Mike studies the core sample with a magnifying glass. Workers carry the samples in boxes to the encampment. A man uses a saw. Kenny marks a clipboard. The machine crushes the core samples, and workers weigh bags. They seal the canvas bags with wax. Mike and Kenny watch the crew carry the bags of samples to a small boat on the river. The boat departs. Later, Kenny adds cheese to hamburger patties cooking in a pan.
The man who invented the hamburger was smart, Mike. The man who invented the cheeseburger, now that's the genius.
Don't ask where the meat came from.
Have you ever read Christopher Columbus' journals?
Of course not.
In his petition to the Queen of Spain, he promised a conversion to her holy faith of a great number of peoples. And he went on and mentioned God 26 times. Gold, on the other hand, he mentioned 114 times.
Smart Dago.
I've been wanting to ask you something, Wells.
Fire away, Mike.
What's the meaning of the tattoo on your arm?
Oh, it's a bird. It's from a poem I read when I was a kid. Bird with no feet sleeps on the wind.
Kenny takes a slow drag from his cigarette. Our view drifts across the dark jungle past two drill sites. Daytime. A man waves an envelope as he approaches the camp.
XA! XA! XA!
Smoking a cigarette, Kenny pulls a document from the envelope and reads. He starts away. Near a drill site, Mike receives an envelope. Later, he studies core samples. Kenny runs over holding a drenched piece of paper.
Mike! Hey! These things. They look worse every time you get one.
Do you remember what I told you about patience?
Yeah, you remember what I told you about money?
Yeah.
Huh?
You said that it wasn't a problem.
It's a fucking problem now.
Talking with Kenny, Mike points out at the jungle, then writes. Kenny rushes past core samples and into the foliage. He and Mike look at a document. Mike walks away toward the jungle, leaving Kenny alone. Rain falls over empty boats near the riverbank. At the encampment, water drips from a drill. Rain falls on rows of core samples resting near the empty workstations. At a desk, Kenny rubs his head, then drinks from a mug. He notices something and stares out from under his tent. Getting to his feet, he watches a group of workers walking away.
Hey!
He runs toward them.
Hey!
He holds up his hands.
Hey! 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 Hey!
The men march away past the drill.
Hey!
Kenny trips. He holds his hands up pleadingly.
Hey! Hey!
Yeah! On his knees, he watches the men leave. Falling to his back, he lies in the mud.
On top of everything else, I got a bad case of malaria. Which kills like something like a million people a year or something like that. And suddenly, I was on the list.
In a daze, Kenny leans back in a chair under his tent. Mike works at a table nearby.
Hey, maybe we're pushing him too hard. Maybe just take it easy, you know? Cut him in. You know, give him some ownership. Maybe he'll come back, you know? Let him know that they got something at the end, you know, and it all works out. And then a piece of the pie, you know? Get up. Come on. Get up.
Mike pulls Kenny to his feet.
Crazy, man.
He lies him down on a cot and pulls a blanket over him. Kenny grabs Mike's shirt. He shivers as he gazes up at him.
Don't let me down. I have nothing, okay? Just rest a minute.
Mike tucks the blanket over Kenny. He stands and eyes his partner with a look of concern. Kenny shuts his eyes. Mike turns a light off and moves to the edge of the tent. Putting on his hat, he looks back at Kenny. He leaves the tent and moves through the encampment toward the jungle. In a village, Mike faces a hut.
Kutawa. Aku handak. Naraipa.
We are running out of money. It's true.
Itahampirpa.
What can I do to get you to return to work? A bald man stares at Mike with his arms crossed. He leads Mike inside, where a woman kneels over a child lying on the floor. Mike crouches down. He offers his canteen.
Mihup.
The woman takes it. An aerial view shows the calm river. Under the canopy, Mike sits beside Kenny, who sleeps on his cot. Wearing a thoughtful expression, Mike glances around. He looks down at Kenny.
I'm pulling the plug.
Kenny shakes his head.
No.
He sits up.
No, I'm not pulling the plug, Mike. No, I can't do that, Mikey.
To get you out of your wells.
What's the plan, Mikey?
Hmm?
No, I know you got a plan, Mike.
Hmm?
I know you got a plan. What's the plan?
Hmm?
What's the plan?
They just need water. If we get foot assistance up here, I think they might come back.
Kenny chuckles weakly. He turns away. He grabs credit cards from a table.
Got about $1,800 on this Visa right there. Close to $500 on this diner's club.
Grinning, he places the cards in Mike's hands.
Use it all. Hmm? Use it all, Mikey.
Kenny lies back on his cot. Walking alone in the jungle, Mike smiles. He comes to a stop and hangs a fabric bag from a low branch. A woman sits with a baby in a nearby stream while a man pans the water. Mike watches the man intently. Walking along the stream, Mike visits a village. He pours water into another fabric bag hanging from a tree.
Damned if he didn't go every single place that every one of our workers lived. Streams that had no name, all feeding the great Kinsana River.
Mike shows a water filter to a group of children. He holds the filter hose as a child drinks. At the camp, workers start the drill.
But you know what? The workers came back. I spent the next few weeks in a malarial haze. Should have been dead. But Mike kept it all going.
The crews work. On his cot, Kenny lies on his side. Mike helps load bags of samples onto a boat as rain falls. Kenny clutches his stomach. A man in a boat brings an envelope, and Mike opens it. Now a raft floats through mist hanging over the river. Lying on the raft, Kenny sleeps. His eyes jolt open and he awakens on his cot. Kenny rubs his eyes. Mike sits nearby watching him.
What day is it?
No idea.
Kenny reaches for his cigarettes.
Month?
August.
You've been sitting there this whole time?
It's not a good carryover.
What do the reports say? A snooze.
We pulled 17 more cores.
Where?
Kenny gestures to continue.
Not good?
Not good. More in the vicinity of Craig.
Fuck you, Mike. Don't mess with me, man.
1/8 of an ounce per ton.
Mike grins. Kenny raises his brow. He sits up, and a hint of a smile crosses his face. He leans in close to Mike.
1/8 of an ounce per what?
1/8 of an ounce per ton.
Kenny grins, and he leans closer.
What are you saying, Mike?
You got a strike, Kenny.
We gotta go, Mike.
We gotta go, Mike.
In only a shirt and underwear, he hugs Mike and jumps on him.
We gotta go, Mike! 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 We gotta go, Mike!
I knew it!
Mike drops Kenny and they raise their fists.
Fuck you, mosquito!
In the bar in Reno, Kenny's employees celebrate.
There's no way I could possibly describe the feeling. It's amazing how a little gold dust can just change everything. Yeah, for better or worse, the ride had begun, and what a goddamn ride.
Kay serves drinks.
The best goddamn team in the business.
What's your name?
Stand-up guy, Kenny.
Sharing the wealth.
Mother load.
In his car, Kenny drives past a sign reading Maggie's Creek, population 0. Kay kisses his neck.
All right, baby, do me a favor. Close your eyes, will you?
All right.
Cover them with your hands. Keep them closed.
Okay.
Kenny parks and helps Kay out.
Okay.
He brings her to a vast field surrounded by mountains.
Three.
He smiles as Kay lowers her hands. Her jaw drops.
It's gonna be our place. I'm away from it all, above it all, just like we always wanted. You like it?
Huh? Yes! Yes!
Okay, look. The house. Right here, all right? The kitchen. Facing there. The great room over here. 2 fireplaces.
No. Can we afford this?
Almost, baby. Almost. We're almost there. All right, look at this. Couple bedrooms on that end, couple bedrooms on that end.
Okay.
Look at this playground for the kids, huh? How many kids do you want to have?
Her eyes glistening, Kay runs to Kenny and jumps into his arms.
Kitchen has to stay over here. We've got to put it over here.
Yes.
Morning light.
And a second kitchen over on this side. A third one across the creek. A fourth one up there at the elk.
Kissing passionately, the couple lays down in the tall grass. Later, they slow dance in the dark field, lit only by the headlights of the car. An old billboard nearby advertises Grand View Estates. In the bar, Kenny and Kay dance. His stocky employee approaches.
Kenny.
It's Walt Keeler. He publishes Gold Digger Magazine.
We reach 500,000 subscribers, and they'd all love to know what you got cooking over there in Indonesia. Have a minute, I'll buy you a drink.
It's all yours, Walt.
Kay lets Kenny free, and he leads the publisher to a booth.
Can I read Gold Digger Magazine? Come on over.
They say you bring us in, you'll get the golden pickaxe. What do you say about that?
I'd say you probably just jinxed it.
How many ounces you guessing?
Millions, Walt. Absolutely millions.
Plaster money?
No, hard rock. This is varsity ball.
How's the infrastructure?
Building it from the ground up.
Kenny raises his glass to Kay, who beams across the room.
Any message you'd like to give to the readers of Gold Digger Magazine?
Last card you turn over is the only one that matters.
In an office.
Kenny, it's good to see you.
Good morning, Beverly.
Clive, how are you?
There he is.
Good to see you, sir.
It's good to see you, son. Mm-hmm. You know, your father and I, we started together in this business. Hell, I mean, he put me in the business. I don't have to tell you that.
He always spoke very highly of you, Clive.
He's one of the best men I ever knew.
Yeah.
Now, you have gone from 4 to 23 cents on your first assay results. And you pulled in 2 more to confirm those findings?
3 more.
3 more? Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Well, I would like to underwrite a private placement of Washoe stock. And I believe that we can raise anywhere between $8 and $10 million.
Well, capital is definitely at the top of our agenda right now.
Well, yes, it is. And a lot of people are going to want to make this deal. But history's on our side. Mm-hmm. I just wish you brought this to me sooner. I could have helped you from the get-go.
Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Lloyd, top that off for me, will you? Straight black with a spicer chaser.
Wearing a nervous expression, Lloyd takes Kenny's coffee cup to the break room. He grabs a bottle from a high cabinet and pours it in the mug. Another employee glances over at him. Later, Lloyd returns to Clive's office.
77. Coffee?
There we are, Lloyd. Thank you.
Stanton, Mr. Wells has agreed to give us his business. On one condition.
Lloyd, I want you to personally handle my account. I need you to be available to me 24/7, 365, as you will be riding shotgun in my jockstrap.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you.
Well, let's go stand around here and go make some goddamn money, huh?
And sounds good to me.
In the jungle, workers carry bags.
Kenny? Kenny? Kenny, did you read the last report?
A lab analyzes samples.
Kenny, did you check the last report?
Yeah. No, I'm looking at him right now. Holy shit!
Holy shit is right, my friend!
Talking on the phone, the partners laugh. In the bar in Reno, Kay smiles.
No, it's unbelievable. Holy shit.
In an office building.
Bobby, I can hear your wife smiling from here.
Right back where you belong, Kenny.
There's a lot of ghosts in this building, boys.
Oh, nice work, Todd.
Kenny passes the Washoe logo on a wall, then surveys an office. An employee stocks the fridge while others move in. He leaves, then returns and takes a beer. A fan falls off a cabinet as a mustached employee tries to plug it in. 2 men set a cover over a mounted ram's head. A painting of dogs playing poker shows one dog giving another dog an ace.
All right, man.
In the bar.
I know this stock is going to start cooking. Make sure you put a little bit away. Sell some. Just along the way, just in case. Especially you.
What?
Put a little bit away. For the first time in your life, think rainy day, Bobby. Okay?
Of course. What?
Okay.
In the sparse Washoe office, the mustached employee grabs a fax from the machine. It reads, Chief Geologist Mike Acosta says Quinsana to yield in excess of 10 million ounces.
Oh, we're gonna be so fucking rich.
He excitedly looks around the otherwise empty room. In a crowded, bustling office, a tall, bald man picks up a printout and walks past employees.
At least look like you're working, man.
He approaches a private office.
Yeah.
He drops the printout in a folder on a middle-aged man's desk.
What do you got?
Wildcatters, basically. This Mike Acosta has had some success. Copper. Got taken over by Freeport Mac. It's all in there.
Yeah, I've heard of Acosta. I like this.
In Kenny's office.
But I think we start with the good news, which is that we are 50% allocated, and we want to set aside 30 of the remaining 54 you boys.
There's more food here. Don't drink through lunch, right? Or just eat something as well.
Hey!
What?
Both, please. Not one.
You want me to answer it? Hello? Washoe Mining, how may I direct your call?
Hi, Kenneth Wells, please.
Please hold.
Kenny, you got a call.
Kay grins as he walks over.
Thank you, dear.
Love you, baby.
All right.
Kenny Wells.
This is Brian Wolf at Brown Thomas in New York. I'm with the Minerals and Oil Group.
No shit.
Kenny gestures for the others to join him.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds outstanding, Brian. And let me tell you something. I'm looking forward to it. All right.
Kenny hangs up and slowly stands. Bobby, Lloyd, the mustached worker, and another employee watch anxiously.
Fucking flying me out. Fucking flying me out. Come on!
In New York City, Kenny and Mike meet with Brian and his colleagues.
Yeah, you know, the way I see it, what banks do, who knows? But what made this country, not tight asses in suits, no offense, taking the easy way down, but guys like me and Mike would jump.
What we have is a private placement in play here. Already over 50% subscribe. Now, if the numbers keep coming in good, which they're fucking going to, The sky is the limit on this thing.
You don't have to sell us. We've done the math. We believe you're sitting on the largest gold find of the decade. May I speak plainly, Mr. Wells?
Of course, Brian. That's the only way to speak.
Our clients are going to want to see a serious plan to turn lab results in a volatile region into an investment we can all stake our reputations on.
It's not going to be a problem.
No, it's not a problem per se. But the fact remains that neither of you have taken a fine of this magnitude through production.
Wait just a minute there, Brian. We found it. We can dig it up. It's not that complicated.
Actually, historically, we found it could be quite complicated. And we'd like the opportunity to help you formulate how you present the operation side.
What exactly does that mean?
I'd like you both to consider bringing on a strategic partner.
Kenny strikes a glass with a pen.
All right. Have any of you ever set one of your handmade loafers down in a hole in the side of a mountain? No, we have. But Washoe has history.
We've done a fairly thorough analysis of Washoe, Mr. Wells, and we feel like you need strategic help.
No. No way. No. This is a new day, all right? And Indonesia is goddamn different.
We can help you. Get off the side of that mountain.
I don't need any help getting off the side of the goddamn mountain. But I can land this plane. I can!
Wells came and found me. I was at a low point, I have to admit. It happens in this business. Ups and downs. But he backed me with his last cent. And more than that, he risked his life. Almost lost it, actually.
Just touch and go there for a bit.
And now we have the bull by its horns.
And boys, they're big fucking horns.
I've worked with the best, and I can tell you, Kenny Wells is up there with them.
We're not by any stretch of the imagination suggesting at this moment that anybody take a backseat. Just be open to strategic alliances.
Oh, fuck.
A view from the hall shows Kenny slam his fist down. Mike stands.
It's a dime out of every one of my dollars, not your dollars. I said no a second ago. You want to invest? We got the gold. We can talk about it. Don't need a fucking partner. I know that.
You know, there's something about finding gold that is so difficult to put into words. It's really difficult. The taste of it on your tongue, the feel of it between your fingers, it's electric. It's like a drug because it hooks you. And it's precisely what you're missing here in the city. It's what makes it so hard for us to have this conversation because you have never felt it. So I have a proposal for you. Put together your institutional players, the guys who rep the big money. Whoever needs to kick the tires on this thing, I will take them on a little trip up the river.
In a hotel suite, a rough-shaven man records audio.
So it was Acosta who proposed the junket in Kansan? Or did you cook that up together?
Oh, Jennings, you're not really getting it. Look, we didn't feel like we had to cook up anything. I mean, I had people coming at me from all sides. My neighbor, Hart Hubbard, he's a lawn care professional.
Usually only worried about Kay's mulberry tree leaning over the back of his fence, but now he's dropping mining terms. Hey, Kenny, how's the grade purity over there at Kinsana? Here it's great. How about the core frequency? Hart fucking Hubbard. He mows grass for a living.
We interviewed Mr. Hubbard.
What I'm saying is we didn't think we needed to cook up anything. Everybody wanted in.
So it was Acosta who proposed the banker junket.
Kenny exhales a cloud of cigarette smoke and nods slightly.
Yes. It was a genius move.
Now, get outside. Stick close to me and hang on to your wallets.
Kenny leads three bankers from an airport. Locals swarm them.
There he is. Gentlemen, Mike Acosta.
Glenn.
Acosta.
Bobby.
Acosta.
Jeff Jackson.
If any one of you wants to turn back, this is your chance.
What's that?
He's just messing with you. Welcome to Indo, boys.
At the mine.
When we got the hit, we stepped out in a radiating pattern, and we kept going until we had the definitive picture. We're mapping the underlying geology.
The cores are caught into sections and then crushed.
They are then bagged and sealed.
This cage is guarded 24/7, under guard. The samples are sent downriver to independent labs in Kalimantan. If a seal is broken or damaged in any way, the lab by law has to discard the entire sample. Every safeguard has been put in place to assure the security of the process.
Diamond tips, saw blades, rock crushers, core samples being ripped from the guts of the earth. It all sounds great.
Kenny puts on sunglasses.
You boys want to see some gold.
In the river, the bankers pan for gold. Two of them stand apart.
No one's going to believe this shit.
So, what do you think?
I'm not sure. What about you?
Acosta seems to know what he's talking about, but, I don't know.
He nods toward Kenny.
Hey. Hey. Come here. I think I got something.
Everyone gathers around the third banker. Mike takes the wide pan from him and swirls the water and particles inside. He smiles as he holds up a small nugget.
See this? A few more like this? You can pave Wall Street.
When Jackson pulled that nugget out, we had him.
Brown Thomas is proud to announce the public offering of 27 million shares of Class A common stock and the initial listing of Washoe Mining on the New York Stock Exchange.
Brian shows a newspaper.
We're all gonna make a lot of fucking money!
A town car pulls up to an extravagant hotel, and a man opens the door.
Welcome to the Waldorf Astoria, ma'am.
Kay steps out.
Get your bags right upstairs.
She wears an expression of awe. Inside, she admires classic murals above the Vanderbilt Room and the Empire Room. In a suite hallway, Kay passes several large bouquets of roses. She stares at the luxurious hotel room.
Are you here?
Kay enters the living room, also packed with flowers.
Baby? Where are you?
In bed, Kenny wears a robe over his underwear and holds a rose between his teeth.
Huh? You surprised?
Yeah.
Bouquets fill the room.
It's your favorite flower, right?
Kay smiles.
Babe.
You look beautiful, Kay. Come here.
I have missed you so much. You have no idea. Yeah.
Kay leaps into bed and they kiss passionately.
Mm. Oh. Mm. Is this the sheets you've ever found?
No, I think they are. You want to hear that, girl?
Yeah.
Our view glides past more bouquets to the window. The reflection of the lovers obscures the glistening New York skyscrapers beyond. Now, Kenny and Kay hurry down a set of stairs.
Oh, hello, man. Everyone meet lovely Kay. Brian.
Hi.
Hollis.
Hey.
Pleasure.
Stanton, you know. Hey. The only man in this business sweats as much as I do. All right, let's do this, huh? Ah, there he is. Mike Acosta, the one and only. Mike, meet Kay. Two of my favorite people in the world.
You know, this one stole my watch to go meet you.
You stole her watch?
Oh, no, I'm just teasing.
She's teasing.
No, you're not.
No, she's not.
No, I'm not.
I didn't know what time. I gotta go.
It's so good to meet you, Mike.
Makes me very proud.
Never doubt it for a second.
The group emerges onto a balcony above the New York Stock Exchange. Kenny slams a button. He puts one arm around Kay and kisses her. Wrapping the other arm around Mike, he hugs them both. In the bar, the Washoe employees watch the ceremony on TV. News reports appear.
In this story we've been following very closely, Washoe Mining may be the stock of the year.
On their first day on the New York Stock Exchange, Washoe Mining turned into a rocket ship today.
In a shiny cocktail dress, Kay climbs out of a limo. She and Kenny join a large party. Later, Kay stands alone. A waiter offers a plate of hors d'oeuvres, but she shakes her head. Kenny spots an attractive woman eyeing him from across the room. Later, he talks with Mike, Hollis, and Brian, who laugh. Kay peers over the crowd, watching Kenny as he mingles. As the crowd sits down to eat, Kay stands alone and scans the room. Later, Kenny struts around while Kay and Mike watch from a table.
True fucking story. Who at this table wants to know the secret to winning bets at pro football?
What's that?
Take the East Coast team every fucking time, you know what? The West Coast team, then they're playing at midnight.
Kay glares as Kenny lights the attractive woman's cigarette. Mike notices. Later, she stomps into a restroom and faces the lighted mirrors. She watches elegant women as they smoke and do their makeup. In the dining area, the attractive woman extends a hand to Kenny.
Rachel Hill. Giants
Wells,
fan.
Rachel. So what do you do, Rachel Hill?
Investor relations. Mm. Brown Thomas on the team.
She's the best looking one on the team, I'll tell you that.
Kay passes Brian and a man at the bar.
It's like a drunk raccoon got a hold of the Hope Diamond. You don't want to get too close, but you're not going to let it get away either.
It's your raccoon, right? Mm. Do you let it run a multi-billion dollar company?
What, and lose you as a client and half the rest of my business?
There's risks and there's risks.
So it's a good fucking day.
Now who wants to buy me a drink? Three double shots of Jack?
So tell me to go out into the wilderness with your bare hands and discover something that everybody wants.
Rachel glides her foot up Kenny's leg.
How does that feel?
I propose a toast.
Hear, hear.
To a small creature often misunderstood.
Kay clinks glasses with Brian and his client.
To the raccoon.
She downs her drink in one gulp and cringes. Grabbing her pocketbook, she walks away, glaring at Brian as she goes.
Well, fuck me.
Kay walks to the dining area, finding Kenny in intimate conversation with Rachel. Her foot strokes his inner thigh.
The thing is, you don't want to go to grow.
Kay steps over.
I can see that.
In the hotel suite.
I don't want to talk about it.
What did, I wasn't doing anything.
I said I don't want to talk about
it. What the fuck should I have done, huh? Just been her over the table right there and fucking banged her in front of everybody?
You are too drunk to get it up anyway.
Fucking take that challenge, baby.
I don't care about you flirting with Miss Pneumatic 1988. You think I haven't seen that shit before, Kenny?
What's your tiny little fucking titties? You don't think they were real?
No, none of this is real. None of it.
Why are you fucking... We made it! Kenny, what the fuck?
She sits on a lounge chair. Kenny walks over holding a drink.
You know what your problem is, Katie?
No, why don't you tell me?
Got no vision. Right? Fucking vision. Your vision starts right here, and it goes right here. Right here's the fucking kitchen sink, and right here's the goddamn parking lot at the furniture store.
You mean an actual job that would support a person in the place they live? You mean that vision? You know what? Fuck you.
Fuck you. Fuck what? Don't you see what's happening here?
Oh, great. Go ahead. Yeah, pack your shit, run back to your shitty life, huh?
You know what? I like my shitty life.
Christ.
It's mine.
You're fucking giving us, huh? You always wanted a broken bird, didn't you? Said the right things, but in here, you never fucking believed in me, did you? You never believed in me, did you? Hmm? You like me losing, don't you?
It makes you feel comfortable,
doesn't it? Does it feel comfortable, Caitlin?
These people are using you. They don't care about you.
I don't.
And they certainly don't believe in you.
I found gold. Now, will you win, Mabel? Would you just let me have the win? We're winning!
Kenny throws his glass at a door, then follows Kay.
Did it ever occur to you that I know what I'm doing?
I hope you do.
Huh? I do.
She touches his chest.
More than you'll ever know. These guys are gonna tear you up. Don't ask me to watch what happens next.
I know what I'm doing, Kay. I know what I'm fucking doing.
He slams the door as she leaves. Now he stares out a window.
What'd you do next, Wells?
What did I do? I wrote it, Jennings.
In a helicopter, Kenny rides over a sunny beach in a wealthy neighborhood. In the backyard of a mansion, children run past well-dressed partygoers. Servers carry trays of food and drink. Kenny approaches a bar.
Another double. Seagram's on the run.
Yes, sir.
And I'll have the same.
Oh, goddamn. You don't have to impress me.
Reminds me of my childhood.
Kenny lights his cigarette.
So I always have a thing in the very enchanted world of Kenny dolls.
Like $1 million. Only a few hundred times better.
Well, that must be a very nice feeling.
You know, it looks like there's a few other people around here with a similar feeling.
Maybe not.
At night, the party continues. Hidden by garden bushes, Rachel and Kenny lounge in a hot tub.
How does someone like yourself end up here?
I know Tom. Tom is a friend.
Well, I bet he is.
No. I stay with his cousin Timmy down the lane. Timmy's really quite a character if you get to know him.
I don't know Timmy.
I don't really feel like talking. Let's just feel things.
Rachel moves over to Kenny, and they begin to kiss.
Wells. Kenny Wells?
Uh-huh.
Mark and Cop. Seems I've caught you at a bit of a disadvantage, Mr. Wells.
He gets out and shakes the man's hand.
Depends on how you look at it. Kenny goddamn Wells, Mark. It's Rachel.
Oh, I know the lovely Rachel.
You know, this son of a bitch here, he controls more gold than anybody on the goddamn planet.
Possible exception now, Mr. Wells.
Fully nude, Kenny lights a cigarette as he faces Hancock.
This is how it happens, huh?
This is how it happens.
Goddamn.
A helicopter flies over New York City. Inside, a silhouetted couple embraces. The man thrusts on top of the woman. In a conference room, Hancock sits with Hollis and others.
What can I tell you, Kenny? It's a generous offer.
It's a fucking joke.
Kenny steps to the hallway.
This isn't a deal, Brian. This is goddamn great.
Listen to me.
No. This is mine. It's mine. I found it. Me and Mike, we were the ones up to our ass in the mud and the shit and the malaria. And this little prick offers a minority partnership?
Kenny, let's keep some perspective here, okay? Whenever anybody offers this amount of money, it's a good day. You may say yes, you may say no, but it's not like anybody's trying to offend you.
Well, mission goddamn not accomplished.
Hancock and Newport Holdings have the expertise and the experience to bring this home. This was always there as a contingency.
No,
you
no,
know that.
No. This is when Washoe Mining becomes a player. Right here, right fucking now. Not Mark fucking Hancock and Newport Holdings. I don't even see our name on it, right? You took our fucking name. You took my name off it.
But if we take a step back here, wouldn't it not be terrible to sit back and enjoy your success?
Wouldn't it not be terrible? What the fuck kind of way of talking is that, Ryan? Wouldn't it not be terrible if I bent over, grabbed my ankle so you could fuck me up the ass? What, do you think you can buy me out and take my name? Or just throw Kenny Wells to the fucking cornfield? Fuck you, Brian!
If we hit pause for a second and consider without emotion, I think you'll realize that this is one of those very rare moments where with a stroke of a pen, no one in your family, I'm talking your children's grandchildren, will ever have to worry about money again.
Brian offers Kenny a drink. Scowling, Kenny takes the glass. He hesitates, then downs it in one gulp. The men in the conference room watch him through the windows. Hancock wears a sullen expression. In the hallway, Kenny sets down his glass and stands close to Brian. He shows his hands.
You see these hands, Brian? These are my father's hands. I've scratched and clawed through the hot earth. These hands. I will bury you with these hands. And you go down to Silky Sable, my Hancock. He works for Kenny Wells. My fucking day. My day!
Kenny marches out of the office. Watching from the conference room, Hancock faces the others.
And I almost respect this guy.
That was a pretty foolish business decision, wasn't it? You're a foot away from living in your car. And you turned down $300 million? Over naming rights?
Kenny gives Jennings a defeated look.
Yeah, I did. Because Consana would become a Newport mine. Right, Mark? Fucking Hancock's Midas touch continues. Me, Kenny Wells, the lucky bastard who fell down drunk and woke up in a pile of cash. No. It was my dream. I dreamed it. You sell your dream. What do you have left?
Kenny drives into a curbside parking spot marked with his name. Wearing sunglasses, he gets out of his car and lights a cigarette. He flicks the ashes before heading toward his building. In the Indonesian jungle, a car passes a Washoe sign labeling a dirt road. At the encampment, Mike makes notes on a diagram. He stands as he notices a caravan of military vehicles approaching. He addresses the armed soldiers as they move into the mining camp. In the Washoe office.
How are you?
Hey, how's Ronnie? Good?
Bobby holds a phone.
Come on. Mike, hang on. Kenny's here.
It's Mike. It's a fucking shitstorm.
Mikey, what's up?
They're locking us out.
The what?
They're locking us out. The military is
here. They're taking over the mine.
What happened at your meeting with Hancock?
What happened at the meeting, Kenny?
Listen, Mike, they were trying to push us out.
Push us out? What do you mean, push us out?
They took our names off, Mike.
Mine and yours, they took our fucking names off.
Are you fucking moron?
They can't just revoke the permit, right? They can't just steal it away.
Kenny, what?
What the fuck is going on? They can't revoke the permit.
So hard to get do whatever the fuck he wants. Hey.
Mike walks away from the phone.
Mike. Kenny, what's going on? What the fuck is going on?
Shh.
A soldier points a pistol, and Mike backs off.
Mike!
Kenny, because I said I told you, man. You know exactly who we were dealing with.
These people are killers. Hancock first among them.
I told you, Kenny. Now it's gone.
Kenny holds a hand to his brow, then lowers the phone. In the hotel room, he faces Jennings. Two other men in suits sit nearby.
So it turns out that in addition to having long-standing ties with Suharto, Newport Holdings actually had on its board a certain ex-president of the United States who was also in one of Suharto's weddings. It's a groomsman. So you see, the whole time they're telling me how rich my grandkids are going to be, they got a backup plan. Right? They're going to pick my pocket and steal it all away.
In Reno, Kenny parks outside the Three Greenhorns bar. He walks to the entrance of the small building. At the bar counter, he watches the news.
Washoe stock was off nearly 50 points at the opening bell this morning on news of the Suharto government's revocation of Washoe's exploration rights. President and CEO Kenny Wells has...
Motherfucking government. They stole it, what they did. They goddamn stole it.
Kenny downs his drink and slams his glass on the counter. The bartender gives him a sad look.
You're gonna need to go home, Kenny.
Just pour me a goddamn drink, Roy.
Go home, Kenny.
Kenny slams the bar and stumbles toward the door. Outside, he uses a payphone.
This is us. We can't get to the phone.
He hangs up. In a daze, he reaches for his cigarette and takes a long drag. At Kay's house, our view lingers in the dark hallway. A light turns on.
I guess you're not home, you know, right now. I'm just calling.
Kay steps into the hall.
I just don't want to hear your voice.
I screwed up, Kay.
When I wanted to build something. Something real that would last. That's for you and me.
But Dad,
Kenny's face clenches in tears.
That's all I wanted to do.
But you were right, you know. You were right. Again.
Kay walks back to her room and shuts the door.
I love you, Kay. I'm gonna stop now. I'm not gonna call you anymore.
Fade to black. At the crowded Washoe office, the employees watch as a man strides past. In Kenny's office, Lloyd, Bobby, the mustached man, and another worker look over as Mike steps in the doorway.
Where is he?
Kenny lies asleep underneath the payphone, which dangles from its cord. His head rests against the side of a motel wall. Mike approaches.
Here you are. Get up.
He kicks Kenny.
Levántate.
I don't know who it was, so I heard the cocky fucking talk.
Huh? Fucking moron.
Kenny gets to his feet and tackles Mike. A view from the motel lobby shows the men as they wrestle back and forth. In a shower, Kenny leans against the wall and lowers his head in the stream of water. Later, he sits on the bed, hunched over a lit cigarette. Mike looks out the motel room door.
You know what they say? You're a drunk. A clown. Out of your league.
Fuck them. Fuck them. You know what? Fuck you, too. You think I want to hear from the fucking golden boy standing there in his golden glow telling me how messed up everything is, huh? Now go fucking back to your perch at the Jakarta Palace, huh? You can use that instinct of yours to find some new strike with some new people.
Is that what you think?
I know you, man. You're Mike fucking Acosta. Prick.
Let me tell you what really happened. We're in North Sulawesi. Monsoon season. It's 1980. Yeah. The famous copper strike. While I was looking for bauxite. On my way to where I'm planning to drill, I get stuck. 5 feet of mud. I'm just sitting in the rain day after day, watching the metal rust.
What'd you do?
Under the theory that it's better to do something than nothing, I reported this was the spot. Nowhere became somewhere.
Kenny nods.
The place you got stuck.
A thoughtful expression crosses his face.
I got lucky.
Kenny smiles.
I fucking love that.
He stands up and approaches Mike.
You went looking for bauxite, and you found copper. I went looking for gold, and I got a friend.
That is the single hokiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
So you got a plan?
Aren't you?
A plane moves down a runway. Photos show a boy and his family. In a pool, a young man holds a woman on his shoulders as they play chicken with others. Photos show President Ford.
So, get this. Turns out, Suharto had a son. His youngest, Dharmadi, a.k.a. Danny. Bit of a screw-up, real problem for the old man. Safe to say, we understood each other. So Suharto had been trying to get Danny set up for years, right? But everything Danny touched turned to shit. Now I figure if we can bring Danny on board as a partner, maybe he could get Daddy to change his mind and swing things back our way. Now, it was a Hail Mary from our own 1 yard line, but it was all we had. It also didn't hurt that Danny had been regularly ignored by a certain ex-president of the United States who was a groomsman at his father's third wedding and also happened to sit on the board at Newport Holdings.
So this guy goes to a Cadillac dealership, right? The dealer comes out and he says, sir, are you thinking about buying a Cadillac? He says, no, I'm definitely buying a Cadillac. What I'm thinking about is pussy.
Kenny and Mike sit with Danny near the pool. Danny removes his sunglasses and narrows his eyes at Kenny.
Cadillac is
pussy magnet.
You like Cadillacs?
Yeah!
Hey!
A valet parks a Cadillac convertible.
Been trying to meet like you.
Who? Oh.
I got it right, shotgun.
Danny drives away with Kenny in front and Mike in the back. At a bar, the men drink.
President Gerald Ford. Tolman.
Mm-hmm.
George S.W. Bush. A very tall man.
Mm-hmm.
Buck Hancock. Also a tall man. My father. Small man. Small in stature. But loves his family.
Kenny points at himself.
Mine too. Yeah. Died in the driveway bringing in the groceries for my mother. It's hard to. Fuck. What makes sense, huh?
It's father or Wills.
85-15 split.
If you have the balls.
50-50 and I might consider.
It's a fucking deal.
That's the deal.
If you have the balls. No balls, no deal.
Kenny.
Do you have balls?
Yeah, if I got the fucking balls.
Yeah.
The fuck is
what? What?
Want there? Mm-hmm. Fucking 85-15 split.
Mm-hmm. No balls. No deal. Open it.
Danny unlocks a gate at the end of a garden tunnel. His eyes wide, Kenny walks through into a lush jungle enclosure. Danny shuts the gate behind him and watches from the tunnel with Mike. The young man bites his lip as Kenny continues away. A jungle cat runs through the underbrush, and Kenny freezes, holding his hands up. Slowly, he continues through the dense foliage. Peering between the leaves, he spots the tiger stalking away. Emerging in a small clearing, Kenny finds the tiger staring at him. It bares its fangs. Kenny slowly approaches the animal, his gaze steady. The tiger studies him. Kenny raises a shaky arm, and the tiger sniffs at it curiously. He gently plants his palm on the tiger's head. Petting the animal, he grins and looks back. Mike smiles.
I'll pull my cock out, we go 60-40. Ah, fuck you.
Kenny gives the middle finger.
Mike, I'm touching the tiger right between the eyes.
At work, Brian checks his watch as he walks down a corridor. He enters the conference room.
Hollis, what's going on?
Turning away from a window, Hollis faces him.
You haven't heard? Wells cut a deal.
A deal? What are you talking about? Who cut a deal with him?
Suharto, the Indonesian government.
What?
Washoe retains 15% of the fine. The other 85 goes to a company of Suharto's choosing, which just so happens to be owned by his son. Wells cut us off at the knees.
What about Hancock?
He's out. Can't compete at that number. Deal's done, Brian. Wells and Acosta are now the only outside partners in the biggest gold strike in history. We represent exactly none of it.
15% is a terrible deal.
Is it? What's 15% of $30 billion?
I can explain. You met him.
You'll be fine, Brian. You'll land on your feet.
In the bar in Reno, Kenny greets his employees. He carries presents under his arm.
Ready to come home with a bone in your nose or some such.
How we doing, boy?
Good.
Hey, where's Kay?
You didn't hear?
Hear what?
She quit. She got promotion out of the store. Assistant manager.
Hey, Roy, turn that up.
Kenny wins right there! It's on the news, man!
Massive gold strike. Fending off a takeover by Newport Holdings. Washoe shares are soaring on the...
Oh, yeah! Soaring! Soaring!
Kenny! Can I see you a minute?
They step aside.
What you got, Clive?
I just got a call. The National Association of Prospectors is going to honor you with the Golden Pickaxe.
Kenny grins.
You shitting me?
No, I'm not. You are now the best miner in the world. And I'm sure somewhere your daddy is smiling.
Goddamn, if he's not, I'm gonna smile for both of us.
He hugs Clive, then rushes off.
Where are you going?
Gotta find someone.
Kenny parks outside a furniture store. Carrying a roll of fabric and a wrapped gift under his arm, he steps inside. He taps the presents anxiously as he passes displays. Coming to a stop, his smile fades. He watches Kay chat with a man in a suit. Leaning close to him, she wears a flirtatious grin. Kenny glances off, then glares as he leaves the store. Always later, he tosses the roll of fabric at Kay's door. He throws the wrapped gift on the lawn as he backs out of the driveway. In a hotel suite, Kenny takes a pair of shoes out of a box. wearing an untucked dress shirt and a loose bow tie. He picks up a stack of pictures. He smiles at an old prom photo. Another snapshot shows a man feeding a woman cake.
Yeah!
He opens the door.
Mike, I didn't think you could make it.
Later, Kenny tries to knot his bow tie. Wearing a tuxedo, Mike watches. Kenny smirks as he struggles with the tie. Mike steps over and helps him. Kenny shuts his eyes.
I'm nervous. I'll be okay.
Mike finishes knotting the bow tie. Looking at his reflection, Kenny gives himself two thumbs up. He pulls out a small stack of note cards from his tuxedo jacket pocket. Mike takes a drink.
Every last one of us who calls the great state of Nevada home arrived here with a dream.
Mike stares off distantly.
That was my great-granddad who came out here on a wagon. He had a horse and he had two mules. When they finally stopped moving and said, this is the place.
Kenny looks at his friend.
Too much?
Mike shakes his head.
It's good.
In a banquet hall. Kenny hugs his employees as he makes his way to a stage. He accepts an award topped with a small metal pickaxe. Holding it overhead, he walks to a podium. Mike and others take their seats at tables.
Thank you.
Kenny pulls out his note cards.
My great-granddad was one of us. He came out here in a wagon with two horses and a mule, and, you know, he crossed six states before he slowed down, and it's when he got here that he finally pulled those reins back and said, this is the place.
Looking down, Kenny hesitates to speak. He raises and lowers his award.
What is a prospector? No, I'm seriously, what is a prospector? It's someone who believes it's out there. He wakes up every morning, again and again and again. And again.
A glimpse shows Indonesia.
Leaving it out there. And then it's not. Right? It's not. And he's standing on the edge of the desert, staring a new day sunrise right in the eye, and he hears that little voice. A little voice that says,
miners work in the rain.
Go ahead.
Kenny and Mike sit in their tent.
Keep walking. And the sun gets higher and higher, and it's shining down on him, and he's really hot, and he doesn't have any water to drink, and everybody that came with him wants to turn back, and eventually they do turn back, and there he is. And he's all alone.
Mike leaves his seat. He looks at the stage from the back of the room, and Kenny meets his gaze.
With the belief.
Smiling, Kenny gives a nod, and Mike leaves.
That it's out there, man. It's out there.
Kenny holds up the award, then points out to the audience.
That's a prospector. Woo! That's a prospector.
Attendees congratulate Kenny as he heads back through the crowd. Clive pats him on the back. Kenny stands on a chair and holds up the award. In a casino, Kenny pops a bottle of champagne. He tosses dice on a craps table. Clive and the Washoe employees raise their drinks. A large money wheel spins, fade to black. Morning. A roving view shows clothing and other items scattered on the hotel suite floor. A plate of leftovers sits on a small table. Lying in bed, Kenny picks up the phone. He presses a button and the curtains open.
Yeah. What? Say again?
I don't understand.
He puts on pants. Later, he drives toward a large crowd standing outside his office building. They swarm the car, and a man bangs on the hood. Smoking a cigarette, Kenny looks around anxiously, then steps out.
Kenny, what's going on? Kenny, what happened?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
A husky man approaches. He punches Kenny. Bobby helps Kenny up.
Kenny, please fix it.
Inside.
What happened, huh? What happened?
The independent assayer. They couldn't reproduce Mike's findings.
There's no gold. Kenny, there's no goddamn gold. There never was.
With a furrowed brow, Kenny shakes his head. On a news program.
The image on the left is the type of gold found in the Washoe samples. This is river gold. Notice how the edges are rounded, worn smooth by the erosion of water. What we should have found is flake gold, the sample on the right, pulled directly from the rock, rough-edged and angular.
That's a pretty darn big detail to overlook, wouldn't you say?
It's a big detail, but you have to understand, everything else about the Washoe samples was right.
But the gold was wrong.
It's called salting. It literally means when someone sprinkles gold dust into a rock sample, like you salt your steak.
Glimpses show Mike.
It is the oldest trick in the book.
Oldest trick in the book. And yet major mining corporations, investment banks, auditors, everyone was fooled.
We weren't fooled. We just didn't look. By all appearances, Washoe's security protocol were ironclad. But when the person administering the security is fraudulent, the whole system goes down.
In the Washoe office, employees frantically work. Bobby joins Kenny, who talks on the phone.
Right. Did he say where he's going? Did he mention Jakarta? I'm going to call you back.
He hangs up and looks at Bobby.
The New York Stock Exchange just suspended trading. They're taking Washoe off the board.
Kenny sits back in his seat. He stares up at his employee, then cocks his head and points.
You sold some, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Bobby.
I thought it was just going to keep going up.
Damn it, Bobby. I told you from the beginning, just put some away, simple a little bit, just in case. How many times did I tell you that?
Kenny, did you know? Did you know, Kenny?
Did I know?
Kenny stands and faces him.
I can't believe you would ask me that.
I'm asking you that. Did you know?
No, I goddamn didn't know, Bobby. Kenny.
Bobby leaves as the mustached man enters with Lloyd.
Kenny, what? I don't even know how to tell you this. Just look.
Kenny goes to his desk.
Acosta was dumping stock. Shell companies, banks in the Philippines, the fucking Azores, Gibraltar. Multiple layers, all offshore.
How much?
164 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are we gonna do?
Kenny throws a glass.
Mmm. I don't believe this.
This is the FBI! Step away from your desks. Take two big steps away from your desks. Do not touch anything.
FBI agents enter Kenny's office. Jennings looks up at the building from the parking lot, and Kenny stares down from his window. In a studio, Hancock sits with a news anchor. In a dark room, Kenny stares at his pickaxe award.
How much money was lost in the fraud that we know of?
Billions. The large institutional investors lost billions of dollars.
So one, or maybe both of them, two outsiders, took everybody on Wall Street for a ride.
Yeah, it really looks like they did. Yeah.
And Acosta has vanished.
With hundreds of millions of dollars.
Kenny Wells has always maintained his innocence, that he was duped along with everyone else. Given that, what do you make of this?
A magazine.
Kenny Wells, a fool or a mastermind?
The headline reads, Fool's Gold?
It's a very good question, Roger.
In his office, Kenny sits with his head in his hands. A lone employee walks through the otherwise empty bullpen to the elevator. He glances back at Kenny, then leaves. In the parking lot, Kenny faces a group of reporters.
Mike Acosta was my friend and my partner. He betrayed me. I know, as CEO of Washoe Mining, it's my responsibility to know everything that's going on, and I didn't. And it's not an excuse. All right, I sincerely apologize to everybody and anybody that lost on their investments. Oh, Mike. Mikey, come on in, man. What happened, huh?
Kenny drives away through the swarm of people. Smoking a cigarette, he pulls onto the road. He passes the Free Pie, Free ATM billboard. Arriving at a nice hotel, he throws his keys to a valet.
Howard!
I saw you on TV!
Hey, hey man, can I talk to you for a minute, please?
Look,
I just want to know where my money went. Come on!
Okay. Mr. Wells, exactly when will you be departing?
Later. A few days or so. I'll let you know.
We just need to talk about your bill, sir.
Yeah, I'll be down. We'll settle it up.
It's okay.
Kenny gets in the elevator.
Right.
Wearing sunglasses, he takes a long drag from his cigarette.
The tongue's leaving.
He lowers his stare as the elevator ascends.
Tonight. But I guess this time I'm doubled up.
The elevator doors open and Kenny steps off.
Again.
He walks along an open hallway overlooking the center of the hotel.
Turn it around. Again.
He turns down a corridor.
Hey,
stepping through a door, he crosses his hotel suite to the minibar. He sloppily adds ice cubes to a glass.
To the
he turns around slowly. Removing his sunglasses, he finds a man in a suit standing across the room.
Any lawyer? Do you need a lawyer?
Kenny shakes his head.
Right answer.
He strolls across the suite towards Jennings. Another man waits nearby, and a third sets up a tape recorder.
How'd you meet Michael Acosta?
Kenny sips a drink.
The first time and second time. How'd you meet him, Wells? It was April of 88. Yeah, I was on the balls of my ass, scrambling. Not exactly uncharted waters for me, but...
A A close view shows the tape spinning in the audio recorder. Fade to black. Later, Jennings carries a drink back to his seat.
I think it's pretty unlikely we'll ever see your partner again.
What are you talking about?
A lot of very powerful people are very angry at Michael Acosta.
What happened?
What happened? $17 billion of value disappeared overnight. Mike Acosta waves goodbye to you in the ballroom downstairs and goes back to Indonesia on a jet chartered with Washoe funds. Then he does a disappearing act. But this you know.
A helicopter flies over the jungle.
First, he's locked out of the assay lab in Kalimantan by the Minister of the Interior. So he goes back to Jakarta.
Mike rides in a truck with soldiers.
Where he's immediately detained by the Indonesian military. And they hold him, where they try to reproduce for themselves the lab results claimed by Washoe. Which, of course, they're unable to do. Now, at this point, either he's being transferred to an actual prison, or he's bribed one of the officers. Either way, he's on a military helicopter. They fly north, loosely tracking the Kansana River.
The helicopter flies between lush mountain peaks. Inside, Mike sits with armed soldiers. They stare at him with cold expressions. One soldier opens the sliding door near Mike. He unbuckles Mike's seatbelt. Wearing a defiant expression, Mike shrugs off the straps. He stares out the window, then glances at the soldier across from him. Our view lowers from fog hanging over the jungle to the trees directly below the helicopter.
1,000 feet up, over the Kansana, Mike Acosta takes a header.
The helicopter veers sharply and flies away. In the hotel suite, Kenny shakes his head and points at Jennings.
No fucking way. He either faked it, or he paid to have this bullshit story you're telling put out. $164 million was a long way in Indonesia.
They found a body.
An FBI agent tosses a folder at Kenny's feet. He picks it up and opens it. In the jungle, a villager leads soldiers through dense foliage. They find pigs near a corpse.
Hands and face were eaten away. Probably by wild pigs.
A soldier finds a wallet.
Just simple. I'm not sure of anything. Except Mike Acosta traded water filters for river gold. But now the Indonesian government have gone unusually quiet on the subject.
It was an autopsy corroborating the identity of the body. They then sealed the report. Cremated the remains. Interestingly, Danny Suwato, your friend, dumped a lot of stock as well. So the Suwatos are even richer now. Mike Acosta is ostensibly dead and buried, and $164 million is still missing. And the only question I'm left with is whether or not you were in on it.
Kenny shakes his head.
I can't believe it.
Can't believe what?
Look, this business had written Mike off years ago. All right, they call his theories crap. There's no way he wouldn't. He fucking couldn't let this be the last word on. No fucking way.
Are you talking about Acosta or yourself?
Kenny looks away, and Jennings studies him.
All right, look, we were running out of money, right? And I was practically dying from malaria. I gave Mike the last dollar to my name. And I made him promise me something. I said, Mike, don't let me die out here for nothing.
One of the other agents steps closer to Kenny.
A few weeks later, I came to, and
Mike was there.
The agent walks off.
He said, we got a strike, Kenny. We got a goddamn gold mine. And there's no way he set out to swindle anyone. He just needed to buy a little more time. And he didn't want to let me down.
You're fucking lying. Levine, sit down.
You want to talk about the truth? All right, let's talk about the truth. The only truth here is when everybody's getting rich, nobody gives a shit about the truth. And come the fuck on, all anyone had to do was look. Open their eyes, man, that the gold was wrong. The fine was too good. There were red flags everywhere. Why didn't no one look? Because no one wanted to fucking know. We all wanted to believe. Me, you, fucking everybody. Why? We're all making so much fucking money, man. That's the truth. That's been going on for fucking centuries.
Kenny paces to the window. He drinks from a bottle.
Are you aware Mike Acosta was salting the Washoe core samples?
No.
You had no knowledge. Mike Acosta was perpetrating a fraud.
No.
You were not in collusion with Mike Acosta on the Consana Gold Strike.
No, man, I fucking thought I won the lottery.
Did you profit from the Consana fraud?
No.
Did anyone close to you profit?
My friends lost money. My neighbors lost money. Me? I lost everything. You know what the truth of it is? I never really cared about money. I cared about gold. And it's different, Jennings. It's fucking different.
Kenny sits facing the agent who studies him. He pours himself a drink and grabs his cigarettes. Jennings slowly picks up the microphone attached to the tape recorder.
Interview terminated with Kenny Wells. 6:45 a.m. October 17, 1988. Interview conducted by myself, Paul K. Jennings, Special Agent. Also present, Agents Levine and Banks, Federal Bureau of Investigation, District of Nevada, Reno.
He stops the tape recorder, and his fellow agents stand from their seats. Jennings gives Kenny a firm stare.
Mr. Kenny Wells, you are free to go.
Somebody believes me.
I wouldn't go overboard.
In fact, I wouldn't leave the state and start buying new stuff or chartering any more jets.
I gotta sneak by the guy at the front desk because I can't pay the hotel bill.
I can't be a party to that information.
Good luck, Mr. Wells.
We'll be keeping an eye on you.
As the other agents leave, Jennings looks back and buttons his suit jacket.
What are you going to do now, Wells?
Kenny stares at him. Outside, he carries a cardboard box of his belongings. He pauses. A glimpse shows Kenny with Mike and the workers in Indonesia. Smiling, they pose for a photo at the mining site. In the present, Kenny puts on his sunglasses. He sets the box in the trunk of his car. He squints up at the sky. Lifting off his shades, he watches a pair of hawks soaring gently through the air. As Kenny gets in his car, he watches in awe. A close view shows one of the soaring birds against the clear, bright sky. Later, Kenny wears a calm expression as he drives. He pulls into Kay's driveway next to her overgrown lawn. Grabbing a rose off the passenger seat, he gets out. A neighbor trims the hedges nearby.
Hey, Kenny. I'm still worried about that mulberry over the back fence.
Yeah, I know, Hart. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Kenny.
Kenny slowly approaches Kay's house. He peers through the screen door. Taking off his sunglasses, he hangs them off his shirt collar. Kay emerges in the foyer. Spotting Kenny, she pauses. She slowly approaches and nods at him.
Can I come in?
She smiles slightly and opens the door. Kenny offers the rose as he enters. Kay accepts it, and they go inside together. In the kitchen, Kay sets the flower on the counter. She gives it a thoughtful look, then watches Kenny.
You want coffee?
Yeah, sure.
He paces through the home, looking around.
This place looks great.
Kay offers a wry smile as she pours coffee.
So do you, Kay.
She looks up at him.
I made curtains. From that fabric.
Kenny scratches his head and touches the curtains.
Some stuff came for you, some mail.
Kay fishes a bundle of envelopes out of a cabinet. She tosses it on the kitchen table where Kenny sits. He pulls the rubber band off the bundle and looks through the letters. One envelope shows no return address. Kenny opens it and takes out a worn napkin. Handwriting reads, "Prove 'em all wrong. 50-50, whatever it takes." It shows Kenny's initials and Mike's signature. Kenny's lips tighten in a faint grin. With the contract, a check from the First Bank of Gibraltar reads $82 million.
What? What is it?
Kenny looks up to Kay with a growing smile. Cut to black. Credits appear. Directed by Stephen Gagan. Written by Patrick Massett and John Zinman. Produced by Teddy Schwartzman, PGA, Michael Nozick, PGA. Producers, Matthew McConaughey, Patrick Massett, John Zinman. Executive producers, Paul Haggis, Richard Middleton, Ben Stillman. Executive producers, Bob Weinstein, okay. Harvey Weinstein, David
it's
C. Glasser,
right.
David Boyce, Daniel Steinman.
The promise of the
co-producers,
tongue.
Michael Heimler, Chris Lowenstein. Director of photography, Robert Elswit, ASC. Edited by Douglas Kreiss, ACE, Rick Grayson. Music by Daniel Pemberton. Production designer, Maria Jerkovic. Costume designer, Danny Glicker. Music supervisor, Linda Cohen. Casting by A.V. Kaufman, CSA. Matthew McConaughey. Edgar Ramirez. Bryce Dallas Howard. Corey Stoll. Toby Kebbell. Bill Camp. Joshua Harto. Timothy Simons. Craig T. Nelson. Macon Blair. Adam Lefevre, Frank Wood, Michael Landis, Bhavish Patel, Rachel Taylor, with Stacy Keach and Bruce Greenwood. TWC Dimension presents, in association with Boys Schiller Films, a Black Bear Pictures production, a Highway 61 Films production, a Stephen Gagan film.
Will we ever get it right?
Gold.
K.
keep looking for a sign tonight.
Credits roll. Unit Production Manager, Richard Middleton. Unit Production Manager, Michael Nozick. First Assistant Director, Darren Rivetti. Second Assistant Director, Gregory Pollock Jr. Cast, Matthew McConaughey as Kenny Wells. Edgar Ramirez as Michael Acosta. Bryce Dallas Howard as Kay. Corey Stoll as Brian Wolfe. Toby Kebbell as Paul Jennings. Bill Camp as Hollis Drescher. Joshua Harto as Lloyd Stanton. Timothy Simons as Jeff Jackson. Craig T. Nelson as Kenny Wells Sr. Macon Blair as Connie Wright. Adam Lefevre as Bobby Burns. Frank Wood as Scotty Nevins. Michael Landis as Glenn Binkert. Bhavish Patel as Bobby Owens. Rachel Taylor as Rachel Hill. Stacy Keach as Clive Coleman. Bruce Greenwood as Mark Hancock. Vic Browder as Roy Baker. Dylan Kennan as Levine. Ben Whitehair as Banks. Stafford Douglas as Henry Andrews. William Sturchy as Walt Keeler. Jacob Brown as FBI agent. Art Tedesco as Golden Pickaxe MC. Kristen Rakes as Front Desk Girl. Stephen Bogardus as Roger. Nicole Brady as Reno News Anchor. Tad Jones as Reno News Reporter. Hank Rogerson as Finance Show Host. Frank Bond as Geologist. Casey Messer as Coast to Coast News Anchor. John Lawler as Mining Expert. Matthew Page as Hart Hubbard. Joanne Camp as Beverly. Laura Martinez Cunningham as Angry Investor Number 1. Joe Berriman as Angry Investor Number 2. Ramona King as Angry Investor Number 3. Russ Dillon as Angry Investor Number 4. Danny Wynn as Angry Investor Number 5. Bob Jesser as Angry Investor Number 1, Harris. Catherine Hahn as Angry Investor Number 2, Harris. Giacomo Bazell as Kay's boss, American Home. Mary Beth Massett as Rachel's friend. John Perkis as Lewis Horn. Jessica Cummings as Jackson's wife. Patrick Dugan as Waldorf Astoria doorman. Ed Trucco as bartender. Jirayu Tantrakul as Darmadi Danny Suharto. Yothan Mapabfun as Dayak Foreman. Nofand Bunyai as Indo Patrol Soldier Number 1. Ratiwat Bufasawat as Soldier with Rifle, Washoe Site. Tanapol Shuksrida as Indo Military Officer, Airport. Joey Levine as Richest Man in Delaware. U.S. Stunt Coordinators Mark Norby, Algato. Thai Stunt Coordinator Kawi Sirikainarai, Sang. U.S. Stunts Paul O'Connor, Anthony Molinari, Jay Torres, Derek Pritchard, Glenn Foster, Chris Pollard. Visual Effects Producer Aaron Barnea. Production Supervisor Amy Eldridge. Ron Klaus Wrecked His House. Written by William Goffrier, Stephen Mishiner, Jeff Oliphant, and Gary Wallach. Performed by Big Dipper. I Got It Bad for You. Written by Rick Riso and Mark Gasparo. Torch Song. Written by Homer Greencastle. Blue Monday, written by Stephen Morris, Bernard Sumner, Peter Hook, and Gillian Gilbert, performed by New Order. Tommy's Supper Club, written by Richard Freitas and Jerry Brioso. Temptation, written by Stephen Morris, Bernard Sumner, Peter Hook, and Gillian Gilbert, performed by New Order. Spill the Wine, written by Thomas Allen, Harold Brown, Morris Dickerson, Leroy Jordan, Charles Miller, Lee Oscar, and Howard Scott. Performed by the Isley Brothers. Hey, written by Charles Thompson, performed by Pixies. I Want to See the Bright Lights Tonight, written by Richard Thompson, performed by Richard and Linda Thompson. Atmosphere, written by Ian Curtis, Stephen Morris, Bernard Sumner, and Peter Hook, performed by Joy Division. This Must Be the Place, Naive Melody, written by David Byrne, Tina Weymouth, Jerry Harrison, and Christopher France, performed by Kishibashi. 1880 or So, written by Thomas Verlaine, Billy Fika, Richard Lloyd, and Fred Smith. Performed by Television. Rip It Up, written by Edwin Collins. Performed by Orange Juice. Gold, written by Brian Burton, Stephen Gagan, Daniel Pemberton, and James Osterberg, performed by Iggy Pop. This motion picture is based in part upon actual events, persons, and companies. However, numerous of the characters, incidents, and companies portrayed and the names used herein are fictitious. Any similarity of those fictitious characters, incidents, or companies to the name, attributes, or actual background of any actual person, living or dead, or to any actual event, or to any existing company, is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Copyright BBP Gold, LLC, 2016. Highway 61. Black Bear Pictures. TWC Dimension.